open free Ave Maria Radio app. Search at your app store or go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the app banner.
This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, a top graduate of Catholic Radio's School of Media Articulation and Stuff. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor's Inn. I have noticed the preferential word has changed. Sometime back I did a monologue on the amount of times that people on TV, commentators, pundits, even the professionals who are supposed to be articulate and stuff, begin their comments with, look, listen. It still happens a lot. Those two are in the top five words. But I have noticed in the last month or so, a new word has come in. It's an old word, actually, and people have used it a lot. The word is well. So do you think that this will affect the women's movement? Well, I informally counted the percentage. It's upwards of 70, 80, 90% when someone is asked a question on TV, they begin with well. Just an indicator of how easily our language, our mode of expression gets influenced unconsciously, almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Again, articulate and stuff, by the expressions around us. Just notice that. That was an aside. This is The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Now, this is E-Person Monday, where we attempt to tackle a percentage of the emails that come in and do what we can to analyze them and give some kind of decent thoughtfulness to them. That's the hard part for me, the decent thoughtfulness. I can read them really well. It's when I have to start to answer them where I stumble. Nevertheless, we get so many emails, e-persons, I'm trying to be gender sensitive, that I had to do something, devote a show to them. Many people say, I don't have time to call in. During your program, I'm a young mother, I'm locked in the bathroom so the kids can't get to me. Others say, I work, can't call in at work, and I tell them, quit. Others basically say this, believe it or not, I'm too busy to call in, so just write your answer. Well, that's something I should respond to, isn't it? So, we're going to get to those, but I have a couple of items of business here. We know, despite what the experts say, the men and women are different. And one of the areas where they are most profoundly different is in the areas of communication. Words, verbalization. And this translates into analyzing situations. The women are so much better at looking at all the variables, socially sensitive and aware. Here's an example. A wife's diary might read this. Tonight I thought my husband was acting weird. We had made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. I was shopping with my friends all day long, so I thought he was upset at the fact that I was a bit late, but he made no comment. Conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong. He said, nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset. He said he wasn't upset, that it had nothing to do with me, and not to worry about it. On the way home, I told him that I loved him. He smiled and kept driving. I can't explain his behavior. I don't know why he didn't say, I love you too. When we got home, I felt as if I had lost him completely. As if he wanted nothing to do with me anymore. He just sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. Finally, was silence all around us. I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed. But I still felt that he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep. I cried. I don't know what to do. I'm almost sure that his thoughts are with someone else. Husband's diary. A 2-foot putt. What kind of doofus misses a 2-foot putt? We are different. When I was in the evangelical world, when I had left the Catholic faith for approximately 8 years, one of the common practices of my evangelical friends was to say a blessing in a restaurant. They seemed unabashed, unashamed. Say grace in a restaurant. Typically, they bowed their heads, said an impromptu prayer. Lord, we thank you for this food. I, being a little nervous about this, you know, I partook. But I kind of said, okay, let's not go on forever here. You know, you get on your prayer podium and you can keep going here. Nevertheless, it was a good thing. It's good practice. And I noticed that it was almost always the non-Catholic Christians who said blessings in a restaurant. I didn't notice too many Catholics doing it. I wondered why that was. I thought maybe the sign of the cross made it too obvious. You know, it's one thing to be able to quietly bow your head. Nobody's noticing. Everybody's talking. You sort of say a blessing in a low tone of voice. Nobody really picks up on it. And you can move on. When you're Catholic, you know, you make that big sign of the cross. It's pretty obvious there. Somebody's going to see you making that sign of the cross. Well, when I came back to the church, I thought, I'm not going to just bow my head. I'm going to make the sign of the cross. And fortunately, I have since seen my Catholic friends take blessing out in a restaurant as a matter of course, with the sign of the cross, before and after. One hand, that's very encouraging. On the other, I still notice that if you're going to see who says blessings out in restaurants more commonly, it is the non-Catholic Christians. Now, maybe I'm missing something here. It may be that it is, on occasion, the Catholics who are saying the blessing, but they just don't mark it with a sign of the cross before and after. Perhaps. If I hear them praying, I don't really hear, bless us, O Lord. I usually hear some kind of impromptu. So, which makes me think it's even more likely these are non-Catholic Christians. My question is this. Do you say blessings in a restaurant? Even a fast food restaurant? Even over coffee and a muffin? If not, why not? Do you forget? Do you say it very quietly to yourself in your head if you're alone? Do you make a sign of the cross that's very small, maybe a 3-inch sign of the cross right on your chest? You know, nobody could even really tell you're making a sign of the cross. Look like you're scratching your chest. Are you ashamed? Don't want to draw attention to yourself. Do you say blessings at home? If you do at home, why not out? What is the difference? It is still food. And in a way, you should be even more grateful. Why? Because you can afford. You have enough money to go someplace where somebody cooks it for you and brings it to you. Kings and wealthy were the only people who could do that in most of human history. So that's really a blessing if you want to look at it that way. Ask yourself, what is the difference between easily saying blessings at home, I don't want to miss saying grace at home, when I go out, that's different. How is it different? Other people around? Strangers? Do you say blessings at family gatherings? Let's say everybody's sitting at the table for Christmas or Thanksgiving. You're there with your kids. They all start eating. You quietly make the sign of the cross. You don't have to be a TV evangelist preacher. Bless us, O Lord, as we pray for these pagans who refuse to show gratitude for your many blessings. You don't have to do that. But do you not say blessing? Make somebody else feel ill at ease? Out of rhythm? Hey, think about me. I had a problem there for a while. When I came back to the Catholic Church, I was in a fair amount of public fundraisers. These were not Catholic environments. These were not religious environments. These were educational or social service type environments. And usually I'd be sitting at a table with a bunch of other folks, nobody of whom said grace. And there was no grace said before the meal like there are at religious gatherings. What do I do? Well, there for a while, I kind of quietly said it to myself. Nobody really knew. But as I got more into my faith, I kept asking, what is my reluctance? Do I not want them to think I'm a weirdo, a religious nut? Am I ashamed? Is there no break in the conversation where I can do this? What is my reluctance? Now, I will admit, I still keep a low profile when I do it out in public, not so much at restaurants. Now, I don't worry about the profile in restaurants. But in these kinds of gatherings, these secular gatherings, nevertheless, it is obvious that I am saying a blessing. The sign of the cross may be not an 8-foot one, but it's an obvious sign of the cross. Is it tough? Sometimes. Sometimes. Just a social kind of ill-at-easeness maybe to it? I don't know. If that's the case, I'm wrong. So the question again is, if you don't do it, why not? Ponder it. Think about it. What is keeping you from doing it? You're faithful people. I would imagine the bulk of people who listen to this program consider themselves very faithful Catholics. Do you? Say blessings? Well, all I know is when I take my first break, I'm going to pray for your wretched souls while I'm gone, that's for sure. But when we come back, we have signed Concerned Bestie. I'll explain the bestie here in a second. But it's about a tremendously clinging, dependent, demanding mother. And the daughter, adult daughter, feeling great distress because if she doesn't meet her mother's ongoing, everyday, chronic, relentless emotional needs, is she somehow not honoring her? I'm Dr. Ray when we come back on E Person Monday.
4 out of 5 moms trust Dr. Ray.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured Corporate Watchdog Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the 7 pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with your 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today.
The opinions, ideas, notions, and intellectual nuggets expressed on The Doctor Is In are not necessarily those of the management staff, call screeners, board operators, mother-in-laws, second cousins once removed, and parole officers of Ave Maria Radio. And any resemblance or close relationship thereof is purely coincidental and is not a reflection or indication that any of the aforementioned individuals are listening to the program or even like it.
Oh, man. That kind of classical music is IQ raising, isn't it? Wow. All I know is that there's no harmonica in there. No spoons. No jug. You call that music? Dr. Ager, and thanks for joining me here on The Doctor's Inn. This is E-Person Monday, where we tackle, digest, analyze, dissect some of these emails that come in. I read them. Pause sometimes during the email to add comments on the way the person puts it. Try to read between the lines as best I can, and here on the radio, obviously, I can't do therapy. When you do professional therapy in the office, you read between the lines. You have to. But here, I'll do my best to read between the printed lines from Carolina and from Texas. My close friend has a dependent mother. If she doesn't speak to her mother for at least 45 minutes a day, and reply throughout the day to her constant text messages, her mother responds by yelling, angry messages, initiating guilt, and many passive-aggressive tactics. Stop the tape. My first question is, how long has this been going on? My guess would be years. So my guess would be, I'm not so surprised by the mom. The mom seems to have a lot of patterns in her own personality that breeds this. I'm surprised by the daughter responding to this and how she can respond to this level of demand. That's what it is. It's emotional demandingness over years. And here's, okay, now this confirms this has been years. This behavior increased when my friend went to college. Okay, the daughter, the friend is getting married now. So I'm assuming she's out of college. So we're talking years here. It appears that her mother values her daughter as her primary relationship more than that of her husband. Mother does not have any of her own friends. She communicates with consistently, 1, her daughter, 2, her own mother next door, 3, the mother of her daughter's boyfriend. And this could cause some ripples in the in-law relationship. And 4, me. The writer of the email, her daughter's best friend. And that's why she called herself Concerned Bestie. Mother truly believes this is normal behavior. And that her daughter owes her this constant attention. Okay, my next question is, does the daughter think this is normal behavior? Does the daughter think, it's the second question now, that she owes her this attention? Three, what is motivating her? Apparently, she feels that if she does anything less than what mom wants, all heck's going to break loose. Mom's going to make her feel wretched, rotten, an ungrateful daughter, an unconnected daughter, a selfish daughter. All those things come into play. I don't have any doubt about that. All right, more information. My friend knows that this situation is unhealthy. Good. My friend is getting married next year. All right, so now you already know this has been going on for years. Do the math. My friend doesn't want this behavior to continue and interfere with her marriage. Well, it's already going to interfere because mom talks to the mother of the girl's fiancé. Who knows how that goes down? All right? They're not talking about mini prints. And they're not talking about whether to have a chocolate fountain at the reception or not. My friend has not addressed this issue thus far. Because, all right, here's a partial answer to what you're all thinking. Why hasn't this kid ended some of this stuff? Quote, if I don't handle it, it bounces back on my dad. In other words, if the friend is not the buffer, is not the emotional buffer, then somehow, some way, mom takes it out on dad. Friend feels she has to protect dad. Here's the $64,000 question. My friend asked me how to set healthy boundaries. Oh, that's easy. I can answer that. You can't. Well, the operative word is healthy. You can't set healthy boundaries. Healthy implies that the mother's going to accept it. We already know the mother's not going to accept it. So the question really is, how do I set boundaries? How do I set what I'm going to do to extricate myself from this constant neediness, this demandingness, this emotional connection that is, in fact, fueling mother's self-absorption? Well, the bottom line is the daughter is going to have to stop answering all these texts every day, and she's not going to stay on the phone for 45 minutes. Sometimes she's not going to answer the phone. Better get caller ID. Maybe caller emotional IQ, where it reads, will there be a backlash? Oh, I suspect it'll be horrid. It'll be, I think, uglier than anything the daughter has ever experienced from her mother. I also suspect, not unusually, the mother would write her off. Flat out. If you're not going to communicate with me on my terms, I'm not even going to talk to you. I will shut you out of my life. And furthermore, I will make sure your father is shut out of your life. Now, can I say for sure that's going to happen? No. But I will tell you, I've seen it happen enough that if I predict it, there's a decent chance I'm accurate. However, obviously, the daughter cannot continue doing this. This is completely unrelated to whether she honors her mother. Honoring your mother and father does not mean you have to be at their every demand, their every call, their every emotional vortex. Not at all. You can be respectful. You can be kind. You can have certainly connections. I'm not advising the daughter to shun her mother, because I think the mother's going to shun her, to tell you the truth. However, the daughter is the one that really has to look at her own behavior and say, why is it that I have been unable to decide how to limit this? And the concern that it is going to impact her own marriage is a absolutely realistic one. I'm shocked that the fiancé, who probably is aware of all this because the daughter has shared with him her frustration, he's got to be scared. He's got to be thinking, what if this happens after we're married And this kind of stuff totally intrudes into our marital relationship. I'm wondering where he's at with all this. So I think for three people's reasons. One, her own. The daughter is eventually going to get so fed up and frustrated with this that she could just flat out say it's better if I don't even talk to my mother and ever hear from her, which wouldn't be a good thing. Two, the mother. This is not helping mother. Not at all. This is fueling her totally inappropriate behavior. This isn't helping her. It's hurting her. Three, her soon-to-be husband. Absolutely. This level of demanding contact, this level of emotional neediness, will no doubt interfere with her marriage. So, bestie, I hope you're listening. If you can't remember all this, you go to the archives. Within a day or two, they're up. And you'll be able to hear it. Dr. Ray, when we come back, what do we got on tap here? Ooh, leaving the church. Complications of it.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
This Ave Maria Radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
You know, they say that your brain uses up a lot of calories. So, the FDA has not established this, but if you listen to the Doctor Is In, with all the heavy thinking, scrutinizing that goes on in this program, if you enter into it with me, you could lose weight. Yeah, people say, you dropped a few pounds? You say, yep. Been listening to The Doctor Is In, working out my brain. Delighted to have you with me here. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. This is E-Person Monday, where we tackle emails. By the way, there are ways to get your emails through. The optimal length is 100 to 250 words. Can't get into too many details. I don't want to edit these. Some of these are a page and a half long, and there's almost no way that's going to come through. Some of them are, help with my defiant 15-year-old. Well, that's not going to come through either. All right. This is from Sue. My son left the church to go to his wife's non-Catholic church. We now have granddaughters in their church. My oldest is a singer, sings at church often. We've been invited. We've gone a few times. On the last occasion, during their communion service, Because my husband was wheelchair-bound, my son and the pastor brought communion to the seat where we both were. My husband, not being as aware in his Catholic faith as I, took communion. I refused. I simply put my head down and shook my head. Very quiet, very gentle, beautiful. I said that, she didn't. No conversation that day or since has come up about this. I've not gone to communion there, except for the very first time. Don't ask me why, Dr. Ray, I don't know. Well, I'll speculate here, Sue. Probably took you by surprise, and you weren't prepared, and you didn't see a quick way, a gentle way, to quietly not. So you impulsively. And since then, you were prepared, you were ready. She says, I have not since, which was about four or five times. We've been invited again to see my daughter's granddaughter's program during the service. I don't want to hurt them. But there have been conversations in the past about the Catholic Church not accepting my daughter-in-law like her church accepted my son. I can only hope no communion is offered on the 20th. But I have to pray my hardest when I do go because of this uncomfortable position for me. Help me sort this out, Dr. Ray. And then here's the kicker. This one gets me. This puts a lot of pressure on me. I pray, and God, I believe, has on more than one occasion told me you were the guy I should go to. Oh, talk about pressure. Okay. First of all, Sue, you are aware, and you know the reasoning behind why you don't receive what other churches call communion or maybe even Eucharist, because they do not believe, nor do they have the authority through apostolic succession, as the Catholic Church does. Sorry for using those big fancy words. But basically meaning going back 2,000 years, the ordained authority from Christ and the apostles, to offer the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. They all have various views on what their communion service represents. Dozens and dozens and dozens of just various views. Many Catholics do not understand this, what it means, how central communion is to us. We believe that our Lord left us this unbelievable miracle. We don't know how he does it, but he does it, because he's God. It's not at all beyond his ability. Two, through proper ordained authorities, change ordinary bread and wine into his very self. Now that said, for the Catholic, for the person who believes this, in accepting communion is a statement that we believe what the Holy Catholic Church accepts and teaches. Your daughter-in-law doesn't believe that. So, for us, communion is infinitely central to what we believe. It's not just this little sidelight thing. Well, you know, Catholics got to believe in pro-life, and they got to believe in the Ten Commandments, and, they got to believe Eucharist is there, too. So, but, you know, the daughter believes in most of those, so the communion thing is just kind of a sideline here that they can just overlook it. No, for the Catholic, the Church has always taught that receiving Holy Communion is the same as saying, I receive also the teaching of the Catholic Church. You ask your daughter-in-law one simple thing. Do you believe everything the Catholic Church teaches? In essence, are you Catholic? She has to say no if she's honest. So, at that point, you say, well, that's how the Catholic Church presents it. We believe that the Eucharist is so important to us, given by Christ himself as his very body and blood. No symbolism here. That to receive this is the ultimate in worship. I would ask her this question. I would say, what do you do with the wine and the bread after your service?
Well, I don't know.
Do you throw it out? Which I believe they probably do. So you just believe it's just bread and wine and it's kind of this memorial meal. Yes. Well, you see, for Catholics, we don't throw it out. Okay. We revere it. We recognize it as Christ himself. That's a huge difference. So for somebody to receive that,
yeah, but you got a lot of Catholics that don't believe that. You got a lot of Catholics that receive it, and they probably got all kinds of sins.
Yes, tragically that is so. However, our Lord will sort that one out. For the Catholic who believes and is properly predisposed to receive, as St. Paul says, that is why many of you are sick and dying. Because you're coming and you're making a mockery of this that our Lord gave us. We believe that because this is so important, you must be a Catholic to receive it. It has nothing to do whether we accept you. Totally, we accept you as a child of God. But you have to understand you're not Catholic. Well, I've heard this argument so many times. That their church is so much more open and kind and understanding and gentle and tolerant. We let Catholics come and receive our communion. You don't let us come and receive yours. Not fair. Spiritually, one to nothing. We're behind. They don't understand. Good luck, Sue, in explaining it. By the way, is there some sibling jealousy here already? I don't know. We'll find out why Mom thinks so.
May God's grace shine on you. This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, the Catholic Healthcare Sharing Ministry. CMF Curo is an affordable, beautiful, Christ-centered healthcare alternative for you and your family. It protects you, your religious liberty, and the gospel of life. With open enrollment upon us, now is the time to take action. Explore and join CMF Curo today. Go to cmfcuro.com. That is CMFCURO.com. And may his light be brilliant in you.
Who's the head of your home and family? Is it Jesus Christ? Call the Men of Sacred Hearts to show you how to place Jesus as the head of your family and show you how to use the Holy Rosary to learn what is on your child's heart that they're not telling you. Watch one mom's testimonial on our webpage, menofthesacredhearts.org, and call us to set up your appointment today. 586-264-8550. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OEXUSA.com.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
January marks the completion of 43 years since Roe v. Wade legalized abortion in America. It's time for an outpouring of prayer as never before. That's why Priests for Life is organizing, along with other groups, the official interdenominational pro-life prayer service for this occasion. It will be held in Washington, D.C. on Friday, January 22nd, the day of the March for Life. Please come. It will take place in DAR Constitution Hall from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Clergy and pro-life leaders from across the country will lead it. Those organizing buses to Washington can bring their entire group. There will be plenty of room. Media coverage is expected, and it is a great chance to witness to the world. Visit priestsforlife.org for details. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Doesn't that sound like one of those 70s or 80s cop show music? Remember Mannix? Yeah, he didn't worry about being gender sensitive. He didn't say peopleix, personix, Mannix. And that's why this is not Email Monday, because that's gender insensitive. It's E-Person Monday. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program, Doctor Is In, comes to you Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. On Mondays, we tackle the stack of e-persons that come in, and we attempt to analyze and dissect and digest and see what we can do here to offer some thoughts and observations and education about the particular situation. We use it as a springboard to offer, hopefully, some decent living ideas. This is from Catherine. She doesn't say her location. She just says Catherine. I recently had a baby. She is 6 weeks old. I have a 20-month-old. My 20-month-old is adjusting to life with the new baby, and it has not been easy. Prior to the baby being born, my 20-month-old has always been a high-needs, difficult child. Stop the tape, Catherine! What else would you expect from a 20-month-old other than high needs? And when you're talking 20 months old, difficult child is redundant. This is an unsocialized, amoral, completely self-centered little human being with a sin nature, not moderated by maturity and grace. So therefore, actual grace. So therefore, the child is, she's going to be this way. The ones that aren't this way are unusual. Most are this way. So already, we have a piece of the puzzle forming here, because Catherine is going to go on. She says, that's putting it lightly. To discipline her, we put her in timeout. Since the new baby has come along, the timeouts don't always work. Well, so wait. See the reasoning here? New baby, therefore, discipline less effective. Not necessarily. It could simply be, one, 20-month-old is getting older. She's getting more willful. Many parents will tell me that the threes are much worse than the twos, because the kids are now getting a little bit more of their own personality. Thank you very much, Mother, and I don't always agree with how you did it back when I was really little. That's one. Two. Catherine admits the kids got me at wit's end. She's always had me at wit's end. So if indeed Catherine would come into my office, and I would ask about her discipline practices, there's a chance she'd say, I'm overwhelmed. I'm defeated. Okay. If that is the case, then you would expect that the child is going to get more difficult with age. That's the natural progression of things. If I can't handle you when you're 20 months old, there's a real good chance I'm not going to handle you when you're 4, and an even bigger chance I'm not going to be able to handle you when you're 9. So, that is a confounding variable. She tantrums a lot more and is very hard to reason with per her age. Now, that last qualifying statement there tells me that Catherine is saying, look, Dr. A, I know you can't reason with a 20-month-old, but I've tried to explain some things to her, and she's not getting it. No, she's probably more capable of getting it now than she was 4 months ago. The difference is, she's getting more willing to not get it. It's like a parent will say to me when a kid's 14, he just doesn't understand. Oh, no, he understands perfectly well. He doesn't agree. And that's what's happening here, I think. As the little girl's getting older, she's becoming a little more stubborn, a little more willful, a little more I want to do it my way. And if mom's discipline doesn't meet up to the task, well, then she's going to get, the child is going to get tougher. We went to evening mass, and she began throwing another temper tantrum, and I ended up giving her a swat in the bottom. She stopped, but I felt like a horrible person. Now, let me analyze that statement at the risk of stretching too far. If a mere swat on the bottom And my guess would be it was tokenism, okay? Kid probably still has a diaper. So you swat them on the bottom, all it is display. It's a nonverbal stop. There's no sting involved. But look at how bad mom felt. Look at how bad mom felt. I think you can extrapolate from that and say that mom struggles with being firm about these things. She feels bad. When you, as a parent, feel bad about having to discipline, which is something that every parent has to do, the chances of you letting the child get past you in terms of the control factor is real high. So mom felt horrible because she swatted the bottom. But notice, listen to this. This one, once again, this is something that she says, she seems too young to be spanked, yet it seems like it's the one thing that works when she won't listen. Oh, wait a minute, Ma. If a swat on the bottom can make a kid stop throwing a little fit that quickly, you got to really reassess how difficult she is. Because kids who are truly, truly difficult are going to look at you like, knock it off, you wrinkled my diaper, what are you doing there? All right, what do I do, Dr. Ray? I don't want to traumatize her. See, yeah, Catherine, dear Catherine, she's a mom that is probably struggling with insecurity in her parenting. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to be psychologically incorrect. Now, by the way, those of you who don't have 20 months old, you can listen to this no matter what age your kid is, because it's all relevant across the board. Catherine is second-guessing her motherhood, especially when it comes to discipline. When you second-guess your discipline, you're going to send a message to a kid. You're not sure of yourself. You're not confident. You don't have the authority that will make this kid respond. And if that isn't happening, the kid's going to get more challenging. There's no question about it. It's a straight-line relationship. How do I get my point across to someone her age without using corporal punishment? Well, you be firm in your discipline. When you took her out of mass, did you stand her in the corner in the bathroom? Did you basically take her out to the car and strap her in the car seat and say, we're not going back in until you're quiet? What you do, Catherine, is you convey an image. The image is, I'm confident in what I'm doing. I'm the big person here. I am in charge. You convey it with your body language. You convey it with your tone of voice. You convey it with your whole demeanor. I don't know how I would teach a parent to exhibit authority. Yeah, we can discipline with consequences, but authority is a somewhat different thing. It's a perception by the child that this big person means what she says. She's loving. She's very affectionate. She's a good person. But when it's time to put a limit on me, she means it. She's going to do it. She's going to back it up. Catherine, you're at the very front end of discipline. The timeouts that you use, you will use for the next several years. They will be necessary. You will have to. Because your little daughter will constantly find new ways to misbehave. Not because she's an evil Chuckette, but because she's a kid. And that's what they do. In one of my books, my most popular parenting book, it's called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. I spend a lot of time on the whole subject of parental self-confidence. On disciplining without guilt, without second-guessing, without being tentative, without wondering if I'm doing something psychologically incorrect, without fearing that I'm somehow, some way going to make this child dislike me and I'm going to traumatize her psyche and it's going to bury down in there and it's going to pop up someday when she's 28 on Springer. I spend a lot of time doing that because it's my experience that this generation or two past of parents is as insecure as any in human history about their own parenthood. So, just some thoughts there, Catherine. Do I have time? Well, I may have to do a C.S. Lewis, because when I come back, I'm not going to have but more than several minutes. And after I read and comment, I may not have a time. I'll see. I'm going to look and see what I got here. I'm Dr. Ray. Be back.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The Heart to Heart Apostolate meets this Thursday the 14th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Can music make you more virtuous or more sinful? Don't underestimate the powerful influence of music in your life and listen to Cindy Brown's talk on the role of music in Christian life. That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at the bar next to Christ the King Catholic Church at Domino's Farms. All adults are welcome. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com. That's hearttoheartcwa.com.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pull on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back from Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEO in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Such a pleasure to speak with you. Someone intelligent on radio. Yay!
Yeehaw! I always wanted to be the yeehaw guy in the group. You know, if you can't sing, you got to just do the yeehaws. Sometimes I even talk off key. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Okay, I do have time for a quick one here. Dr. Ray, reason I called in to ask this question. In your professional experience, have you ever seen clients whose behavior was influenced not only by their depression, situational life calamities, and clinical factors, but also diabolical influences? Upon reflection, I asked the wrong question. Or at least I asked the question in the wrong way. What I should have asked is this. As a Catholic and Christian, in your psychological work, have you ever witnessed a situation where you suspected that the devil was using someone impaired by their depression to keep someone else from doing what they should be doing? Okay, now that's a little confusing. What he means is this. He has someone that he does charitable work for, and she's very, very demanding. And she's been clinically diagnosed as depressed, and this person is always taking advantage of him or trying to take advantage of him, and he seems to be able to keep the limits on it. And he's wondering if, indeed, part of her depression is that she's being diabolically influenced to be this demanding or unreasonable. I will tell you, in the years I've been doing this, I have never seen someone that I thought was possessed. That's not unusual. Possession is very rare. In terms of obsession or oppression, and I think what you might be talking about is something called oppression, which means that the devil is taking a very active role beyond temptation. We all get tempted, so the devil has his action on us through various temptations. But to take it a step further, that a much more active role oppressing this person and somehow getting them through the devil's punishment, if you will, or oppression, to act in very, very inappropriate ways. I don't know the situation, so I can't say Ray. His name is Ray. However, probably if you just go by baseline prediction, in other words, depressed folks who are demanding, probably this is just part and parcel of this individual's personality and temperament from the history. And something that makes that likely is, Ray says later in the email, this person has related to me circumstances of her life which indicate that she has been badly bruised by life experiences, retreated from life, surrounds herself with pets. So you have an individual who socially is fragile. When you have this, much more likely that they're going to be demanding, that they're going to say, meet my needs, that they're going to be very self-absorbed, that they're going to look at life as how it all affects them. Generalization, to be sure. However, it is not uncommon to see somebody who has been diagnosed depressed to also be very emotionally immature for all kinds of reasons. So, to answer your question briefly, Ray, no, I do not see this commonly at all, at all. Most of what I see can be more directly explained by their genetics, their wiring, their chemicals, their history, their temperament. Gotta run! Thanks for staying with me here on ePerson Monday. Tomorrow, we'll be back with you, interacting, God willing. You talk to me, I talk to you. I listen somewhat. Walk with God. If you got kids, hold them tightly by the hand.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-